نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. It is Allah Ta'ala's great favor and bounty that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with this opportunity to be in this environment. And of course, those many that go for i'tikaf, it is so the other than the intention of excelling in ibadat and searching for the Mubarak night and whatever, but it is also you'll find many khanqas that are full in this Mubarak month or the last part of it. And the purpose for going to a khanqa is for spiritual upliftment. And to beautify our inner selves, just as we beautify our outer selves. We have mirrors. We look into the mirror to make sure that our hair is right, our face is looking like there's no spots, there's no dirt. Like yesterday I was somewhere to go and get some stuff for the madrasa, and so I had to go to a hardware shop. So there was one youngster there, and I really didn't know who he was, but after I asked him, so he introduced himself as being the son of one of the persons that's working in that particular business. And then after a little while, the youngster was close to his father, so his father says, "What's all the spots on your face?" So probably me had been handling something that had dust on it. Now dust went on his face and he didn't know about it. So it's either that you will stand in front of a mirror, or that you'll stand in front of a different type of a mirror. One is the mirror that we all know, that is a physical mirror that we have. But another believer is also a mirror for another one. So just as I may not see my faults, you will see my faults. And sometimes when I look at you, then I will see my faults both ways. Because when we study, that is why when we go to the awliya Allah, when we go to those that have the ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is what I've been telling you also as students here, that we need to observe. We need to observe. Now, with our asatidha, we'll observe how, for instance, if it is related to hifz, that how they are reciting the Quran and Majid, or if it is Taraweeh, then how they are reciting, and then to try and implement that. So they are becoming a mirror, because when I'm looking at my reflection in their actions, when I'm looking at my reflection in their actions, then I'm finding that my recitation is not like that. When I'm looking at my salah in the mirror of their salah, then I'm realizing that this aspect of my salah is incorrect, or that aspect of my salah is incorrect. I recall when my late Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was alive, so I had an opportunity, of course, many opportunities to be there. But sometimes I know I would just sit and one particular time comes to mind when, not in the masjid itself, but near the masjid, there was a house that was purchased by one of the friends of Hazrat, and he, Hazrat Abdullah Ali, used to use it for his informal majlises and whatever. So, sometimes to come away from the masjid and some friends that used to gather. Friends, it's incorrect for me to say friends because we is murids. Those they call, those that attach to them, they say friends, it is their humility. But for us, it is not friends. We should rather say those that were Talibin or those that were murids of Hazrat Abdullah Ali. So they used to gather there, and then another Abdullah Ali used to come, and he used to have some informal majlis. Sometimes there used to be some tea that is served, and Hazrat Abdullah Ali. And then those informal majlises were such that someone just asked a question, and when Hazrat Abdullah Ali expounded, and when he answered, it took the form of a risala and a booklet when it was compiled. So important advices that he gave just on the asking. Therefore, it is also nice for us to ask questions. Of course, not such types of questions that are of loose type or that don't have any, there's no meaning to it. Of course, it must be intelligent questions as well. And of course, if it is related to our lives and correction and whatever, then we should ask. So, on one particular occasion, I remember Azad came from the masjid and he was performing his salah there. And I can remember that particular day, Hazrat even had his mozas on. And I sat in the back and I just observed his salah, that how he read his salah. And I was so taken away by the salah, but watch, serenity and khushu and khudu, devotion and concentration. And every posture of his, was so gentle. No rushing in his salah. So what I'm saying is that now I'm looking at my salah in the mirror of his salah. And then I'm saying, what salah am I reading? What degree of khushu and khudu do I have, and concentration and devotion do I have in my salah? Absolutely nothing. So when we see our seniors, when we see our elders, and we look at our reflection in them, just as we look at our reflection in the mirror to see if there's any blemishes, any dirt, anything on my face, then I put that right. So similarly, that is one aspect. When it comes to our spiritual selves as well, then we look into these types of personalities and we see where we are going wrong. Sometimes it is just silent nasihat. It is silent nasihat. It is not every time that the Shaykh will speak. It is not every time that our seniors will speak. Sometimes we just sit with them. That is why we speak of Suhbat al-Shaykh, or to stay with the pious, to stay with the seniors. It is not every time that they would be giving bayans and nasihat. Sometimes their nasihat is silent. Their nasihat is silent. Yes, it is for the intelligent one to take maximum from that. Now you are observing. For instance, there's a guest that came in, and the guest is now meeting the Shaykh. Now just to observe how he is meeting, that is a lesson on its own. But for whom? For that person who is intelligent. If I just treat it, that is why I read not long ago, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib Mutala Damat Barakatum from England, who is a Khalifa of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And of course, he was one whom Hazrat Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali had a lot of muhabbat he had for him. So he mentions in one of his Darse Bukhari, he says that anything you pick up in this particular classroom or in that Darasgah or in that Darul Hadith, wherever he was teaching at that time, you see, if you talk of the wall, I will give you an incident related to my Shaykh. If you talk of the chair, I will give you an incident related to my Shaykh. If you talk of the floor, I will give you an incident related to what, how he must have observed. If you ask me one incident about my Shaykh, what will I remember? But how closely they observed. From this we can gauge that if this is the condition of the ghulams and of the slaves, of the slaves of slaves. In other words, if you look at the Sahaba Ikram and then those that followed them, the Tabi'een and Tabi'a Tabi'een, and coming right down so low. If this is their condition, just condition of one person that I'm just telling you about, can we imagine what the Sahaba Ikram, Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, how they must have observed Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? It's beyond imagination. Otherwise, how would this deen have reached us like this? That in everything you will find that this perfection and the deen has reached us. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, okay, whatever was compiled at that time, but then from where did it come? How did it come down? How did the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, how did they practice? A Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu sees Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without a button, so that becomes his way, and that is how they observed the practices of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they passed it on to the ummah. Therefore we find that even in this era, so many hundreds of years, centuries later, we find that those similar types of spirits in the ghulams of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in those, not just ghulam, but the ghulam of ghulam, because it's followers and followers, and right from here till there, if you look at the chain, how far it will go. But the jazba and that enthusiasm to rectify and to see very closely. So I was speaking of looking at the reflection. From there we went onto this to this route. So when we look at the next Muslim brother, that is why we find that we don't have to always wait for our mashayikh to correct us. Sometimes we find that even we as friends, there's something basic things that we know, okay, this is right and this is correct, this is incorrect. So just as we have brotherhood in everything else, can we not make a pact with someone? That, listen, if I do anything wrong, then you tell me. And if you do anything wrong, then I will tell you. Now, so what is happening, the islah is being made, because sometimes by the time I get to my shaykh, I'm not there with the shaykh all the time, but yes, I am with my friend, or I'm with my people with whom I'm interacting at work. And if you go a little beyond that, those of us whom Allah Ta'ala has blessed with, that we are married, for instance, now can make this pact with a family, that if I do anything wrong, you bring it to my notice. And if you do anything wrong, then I will bring it to your notice. Now what will happen is that in this a person will not feel offended also. And of course this method of doing it sometimes is certain, for instance, I become lazy and I'm not getting up in time for salah. And now if the wife has to tell me that, listen, get up, no, respectfully get me up, then I become angry. Why are you getting me up? It's almost time for adhan. I know it is time for adhan. You don't have to get me up. This will be that response. But where that pact is made, that, listen, I will help you and you assist me. The same can be applicable for tahajjud salah. The same can be applicable for other types of ibadat where we assist one another. Maybe assist one another. It is not with the intention of finding fault. But if something is seen that is so apparent, then put those things right. Assist one another. Today the condition is such that if I see, or if someone sees a fault in me, and with muhabbat, if the person tells me at him, but mind your own business, you don't worry what I am doing. Why? Because I would only correct myself if my shaykh tells me, or if my ustaz tell me, nobody else must tell me. That is not the attitude. That is not the attitude of a believer. Sometimes you find you are in an institution, you are in a madrasa, and some student, Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with piety, and humbly he is telling you, see, this shouldn't be done like this. So now we become upset, that who are you to tell me? There's no need for you to tell me, you think you're too pious. These are the types of comments sometimes you will observe and you will hear. So this is not the attitude that we as students supposed to be having. The attitude that we supposed to be having is that if anyone tells us, and therefore whether it was Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh or someone else, they've written that for a person to make his islah, for a person to correct himself, there's few ways. The one is this, that the person sits in the sohbat of the shaykh. Of course, that is the best, and that is, of course, the order of the Quran and Majid, also kunu ma'as sadiqeen. And when you sit with them, of course, when we say sit with them or be in their company, we need to understand that just staying with them is not sufficient if the person is not focused. We need to know that we are going there. One is, we will go and sit there and derive no benefit and say, okay, listen, now we've gone and we've sat in the company. It is not going to benefit. But if we went there, as my Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, with those sinuses unclogged and with an open mind, you go in there to learn, to observe, then inshallah you will leave there with something, because every action, the person's speaking, the person's interaction, the person's ibadat, the person's response to certain types of things, or someone is coming to like Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, imagine what type of tolerance Allah Ta'ala had given these types of people. Hazrat Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's majlis is carrying on and suddenly a person comes straight to Hazrat to meet him. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali meets him, sends him off, and then whilst the majlis is carrying on, even ulama and salikin, everyone seated there, next one comes in and the same thing is happening. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali says that I don't allow this, the effect of this unpleasantness that I'm experiencing. He's a human being, and what he is doing, not wasting his time like I do, but he is addressing people and is making the islah and is passing over important aspects to them. And in the midst of that, somebody just comes and interrupts. And you must remember one thing, that sometime when a person has got a chain of thoughts and suddenly something has to happen, suddenly someone comes, then sometimes the chain of thought just breaks. The person just goes off, and sometimes it is on that spur of the moment when Allah Ta'ala was putting something in his mind, some explanation, and there's some disturbance like this. What happened on the occasion of Mi'raj? I mean on the occasion of Laylatul Qadr. How is it that the knowledge of Laylatul Qadr was taken away from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or was not passed over to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? There was some incident that went behind that. You know, the wisdom and hikmat of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala alone knows. But there's something that has happened due to which the actual day or the time or the night of power of Qadr was not revealed to Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now can you imagine just one incident? So now sometimes the mind is so sensitive that a person has got a chain of thoughts, and suddenly something, okay, one is a chain of thought in this way that you're mentioning an incident, or you're talking of something, you went to something else, or there was disturbance. You can always ask someone, listen, what was I talking, or what was the example that was being given, and you continue from there. That is a different and a separate issue. But one is certain points that Allah Ta'ala puts to mind, and it's on the spur of that moment that that thing is coming to mind, and you haven't yet uttered it, or you haven't yet mentioned it, but it's coming, it is in the process, and suddenly there is this type of interruption. Person's whole, he loses focus, and that which was coming from Allah Ta'ala's side, sometimes that is taken away. However, in that too, there's a wisdom of Allah Ta'ala, why sometimes, I mean, I'm not saying from our side, from those that are listening, we shouldn't be thinking of it that way, but from the person who is speaking, I feel, it is my own assumption, that when these things do happen, there's some khair in that also. But sometimes Allah Ta'ala doesn't want you to say something, so Allah Ta'ala takes the knowledge away from you. Allah Ta'ala makes you forget. And sometimes there's some reason, or there's something that is created in between, that knowledge is taken away. There's some interruption that comes in and that knowledge is taken away, although this person wanted to say it. Sometimes I feel that, hey, you know, it's such a beautiful thing to be shared with someone, and if only I share, people will say, look at this person's knowledge, or what his ilham, or what ilhami knowledge he's got is coming from Allah Ta'ala's side. So because of that pride that could have accompanied that or come after that, so Allah Ta'ala takes that thing away. So the person, whereas it may have been an excellent thing to share with others, but because of that pride that could come in thereafter and destroy this person, Allah Ta'ala safeguards and protects this person. So there's various reasons that this could be happening from the side of Allah Ta'ala, the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala, He alone knows. But however, from our side, we should not become a means to these types of things. But however, coming back to Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he says that these types of things, those people that suddenly came in and sometimes were rude, or you know, ill-disciplined, or sometimes they could have been dihatis, they come from such places where, you know, there's illiteracy, they are not accustomed to these types of majalis and so forth. They just come there, okay, you know, there's someone pious, so we're just going to meet him. So they're not familiar with the adab of the majalis and so forth. So however, Hazrat says that irrespective of what I feel in my heart, the effect of that you will not see on my face. What rank that is, a maqam. Today someone, a student, doesn't know his sabak, has made me angry. Immediately you'll see the reflection of that upsetness on my face. I'm upset, you'll see it on my face. Sometimes see my forehead, you see the creases on my forehead, or you see the expression on the face has changed. Sometimes you see the color changing, person has becoming angry. Has become angry. Friend has told me something which I dislike, or something that is against me. Now I'm seeing. Sometimes the ustad is seeing the student something, he's reprimanding. Whereas the student is supposed to be humbling himself and say, listen, this is my ustad, or these are my parents, I will listen. But suddenly you find that those expressions on the face are showing that this person is upset. That is why recently I told someone, I said, you know, sometimes we have to complain to parents about a child's behavior in madrasa. About a child's misbehavior in madrasa. When it comes to certain types of misbehavior, you can explain it to the parent that this child is being, he's back chatting, or he's being disrespectful in this way. But certain things you cannot describe, and you cannot give a proper explanation, and more especially if it is with the facial expression. Facial expression, how are you going to convey that? Because it's not a form which you can capture. And sometimes the more sensitive a person is, the more quicker he'll be able to pick up that there's something that is changing in this person. The temperament is changing. The expression on his face is changing. The way he just responds, not by action, nothing else. You've told a person something and just see the reaction. Therefore, some of our mashayikh have tested their murids with these types of things as well. On one occasion, Hazrat Hadi Imdadullah Muajir Makki Ramtullah Ali and his Khalifa Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Ramtullah Ali. So there was someone on the Dasar Khan. So Hazrat Hadi Sahib Ramtullah Ali gave the food, whatever was there. He told Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Ramtullah Ali, such a great alim of deen. And he's giving the food, whatever it was. Some mentioned that it was just one roti, ordinary roti, and there were some other dishes there, but there was bhaji there, you know, something simple food, so to say. Took that and told him, okay, sit on one side. Now someone was there, he told me that, make him sit down here on the Dasar Khan. I said, no, for this, people just leave him there. Can you imagine now, such a, you know, a highly educated and qualified person, and he's there at the feet of the Shaykh, and this is how he's treating him. So, in the meantime, what was happening was that Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was just observing what the reaction is there on this person. So, Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali mentions, wow, you know, I've got something from my Shaykh's hand to eat. The whole thing. One is that to show that unpleasantness, that how can you treat me like this? Everyone, are you pushing me one side? It is not that he's pushing you because he wants to push you, he doesn't want you to. Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, who he was, just on this eating thing, remember an incident that is narrated about Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, one Ra'is, one very important and wealthy person, came to meet Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, and they wanted the Dasar Khan. So those poor students that were there, and those people that were in the Khanqah, so they said, no, this is Ra'is, you know, important person, so let's move back a little bit, you know. Now imagine, these were those people that, you know, they recognized, you know, people, and they knew who to give what rank and maqam. So when they started moving back, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, it's not that, you must remember that these mashayikh, they don't sit with their eyes closed or they're blind. They're very, very sensitive, extremely sensitive they are. And they will pick up such things which our minds will not even go. Sometimes just an ishara is enough for them. Sometimes just an expression on our face is sufficient for them. Sometimes the way or the tone of the voice is sufficient for them. That is why Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali mentions that when a person came to the Khanqah there for his Islah purposes, then other time, I imagine he was a Hakim, and he was, you know, what we call a specialist in this field. So Rahmatullah Ali used to say that when a person came for Islah to his place, so in the first meeting when there was an interaction, so Hazrat suggesting that little while he would size this person up, and 9 out of 10, whatever Hazrat had assessed with regards this person, that used to be his weaknesses. Understand? So that is the sensitivity, how the person is reacting, how he is sitting, how he is talking, what's his body action, these types of things. And sometimes the type of clothes the person wear, what type of clothes he is wearing. Now all these things, they give messages silently. So, however, as Maharshi Dhammad Gangohi Ramtullah Ali observed these youngsters moving back, and those poor students that were there, the murids, and that they moving back. So Ramtullah Ali addressed them and said, come here on the Dasar Khan and sit with him. He said, Tumari mere dil mein qadar hai. No, I value you. So it is not that because this is a ra'is, so I'm going to throw you away, I'm going to put you second. That's immaterial to me. You are, I have got value for you, you come and sit here. I made him sit. Sometimes you find those people that are, that have, this type of position in society. Then, unfortunately, sometimes you will find that if I'm from a wealthy family, now in Salatu, I don't want a poor person to stand next to me. If a person has got a different color, I don't want to stand next to him. I dislike him standing next to me. Now this is not the shan of a Muslim. This is not the shan of a believer. On one occasion, Hazrat Mufti Mahmudul Hasan Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, they were sitting down in the Dasar Khan to eat. There came a person, a poor, maybe a Bedouin type of person, and everyone is already sitting. This person, from his appearance, from his clothing, like in tattered clothing, and other than that, there was a type of odor that was emanating from his body, not a pleasant smell. So now see, once again, the awliya Allah, how observant they are. He's sitting on the Dasar Khan, Mufti Mahmudul Hasan Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. And he observes that this person has come in. But sometimes you will find that in Salah also, if there is a little place and a person wants to come in, then you broaden your feet so that you close that little gap to that was there, to tell the person, listen, there's no place, you don't come here. Sometimes you'll notice in the Haram Sharif also, that whilst you're waiting for Salah, and suddenly there's a little gap this side, there's a little gap this side. Now the person wants to come in, so now you'll change your posture. You try and take more space so that the person doesn't come in between. Now these are all the tricks of the nafs. So, however, such types of people, if they do come away, I remember once when I was there, one person had to come away like that. There was someone standing somewhere there, so that person actually moved off his place. Everything was tight. Everything was tight. Moved off his place and put this person in his place, then I'll look for place somewhere else. Now sometimes you think that what reward did he get? I mean, that person doesn't. Yes, if it's sometimes your ustad, that you will understand that this person is doing it for the sake of the ustad, because respect or something. But no such thing, no relationship. I don't even know the person. And this is what this person did. And I'm looking, and then I look at myself in the mirror of that person there and see, do I have this quality? Can I make ithar? Can I give preference? Today, unfortunately, forget giving preference to someone else. I'm not even prepared to give preference to my own brother or to my sister or to my parents. Am I prepared to give preference? However, Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali observed this person coming, and then he also observed that little broadening, that he doesn't want to be given a space by anyone. These people, the islah has been made. Sometimes we think that when they reach certain level, then there's no islah for them, or they're above that. You will find that the islah is made, and they continue with that. It's not that they feel that now islah is made. sometimes for their own selves and sometimes for the ta'aleem of their followers, they will do certain things. Now, once again, it is left for us to observe. Now, if someone sat there without this in mind, to see what Hazrat has did, it's not going to make any difference. He just sat there, he ate, he filled his stomach and he went away. But that person who went there with the intention of learning, then this will be a great lesson for him. And if only this can be implemented in your life, then see what you will receive thereafter. So when Hazrat observed that, he called the person, made some place for him next to him, and not just made him sit there, but it made him eat from the same plate in which he was eating. Made him eat from the same plate, that person who no one wants to have him seated next to him. This is the Shaykh, and this by way of example, this is what he's teaching us. He made place for the person, not to get him another plate and make him eat in the plate. No, you eat from my plate. These were the true ulams of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that took from the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam the compassion, the muhabbat, the love that they showed to the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No pride, no arrogance, no thinking that I am someone, absolutely nothing right on. So, talking of mirrors, when we look, one is, okay, we are talking of Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullah, one is that he says that we go to our mashayikh. Our mashayikh are not with us all the time. Sometimes we get that opportunity to be with our seniors, with our mashayikh, and we go and we sit in their company and we rectify ourselves and so forth. But that is not available all the time, that type of. Yes, there are some selected few individuals who sometimes stay 10 years, 5 years, 15 years, 20 years. Our Shaykh Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali stayed with his Shaykh for a period of about 17 years. His prime youth he spent with his Shaykh. That was Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So there are those selected few that Allah Ta'ala blesses with that opportunity. But the Shaykh is not there all the time. So therefore the second stage is mentioned, that in the absence of the Shaykh, then your friend or your companion, you use your companion as a means for islah. Your companion you are there with all the time. Now, whether it's companion in madrasa for us as students, whether it is companion if you want to take your ustadi as a companion, of course, with seniority and respect. And also for us as married people, our spouses are also our companions. So just as I can take guidance from my Shaykh, from my Ustad, from my seniors, so can I also take guidance in matters, or I can be corrected, or I should take correction from my companion if he or she tells me, listen, what you are doing is wrong. But what is our condition today? If my family has to tell me, listen, it's time up for namaz, the adhan is already gone, what is my reaction? Getting me up earlier, was telling me something that you're not supposed to be doing this. So, who are you to tell me? That type of attitude. So therefore we should remember that our islah and our correction, one is with our shaykh, the second is with our companion. And then he goes to a third stage. Third stage is sometimes you're not with your companion all the time also. You are out. Sometimes you will find, especially in the awliya Allah, they have, just as Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had enemies, so did the awliya Allah also have enemies. Not that because of some weakness in them or because they did something wrong to someone, but it is a system of Allah Ta'ala. You will find that these, even the pious have those people that have got enmity towards them. So therefore, the third stage is this, that a person makes his islah via his enemy. An enemy will always look for faults in you. Enemy will always look for faults. So, when these faults are mentioned by an enemy, or a person that doesn't have liking for you, sometimes we find within ulama this happens, sometimes within us as friends it happens, or as colleagues it happens, that this person, because maybe Allah Ta'ala has given me a better ability than him, or that I have surpassed him, or that I have did better than him in examination, and normally he comes out first, and this time I came out first, or whatever the situation may be, there's a type of sometimes because of jealousy, or whatever other reason, is this type. Now what happens, he starts speaking on your faults. Via other sources you come to know that this person said this about me, this person said that about me, this person said that about me. Then what is my reaction? I just want to take you towards the Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. The Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali also used to have people. This Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written in his Abidin, you'll see it other places as well. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali mentions that with regard to the Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, if anyone picked on some fault of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, then he wouldn't just dismiss that as this is something that is being said by an enemy or a person that doesn't have mahabbat for me or something. But he would look into that allegation or into that criticism and see whether there is this weakness in me or not. If there is that weakness, then I'll rectify it. But if it is just soul animosity and nothing else, that there isn't that fault, then Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, those types of letters that used to come, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali just used to put it into the waste paper basket. And look at Hazrat. There in India, for those of us that know, it doesn't happen so much now, but those days as we were studying also, we observed this, that when this communication used to come, then they send a reply paid postcard. There you get the small postcards and you write on the postcard, and maybe one portion of it you can it is for the addressee whomsoever you are sending it to, and it has got a prepaid stamp, and the balance one and a half, the half on this side and the rear half, you can write your message. So what they used to do, especially when they wanted a reply, so they would send their postcard or they would send their letter, and in that envelope they would put a reply paid postcard. Now look at the taqwa of the person. Now the person has sent this nasty letter. These are all eye-openers for us, Person has sent this nasty letter, and together with that nasty letter is this reply paid postcard. Okay, the reply paid postcard is that this person wants a reply. So the postcard doesn't belong to you. So you can't dispose of it. He's paid for it and he's written his name there. In other words, now his address is already there and he's expecting you to send this thing. Now the Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, whose mizaj and temperament was usul. So what is the usul that he set out there? What did he show us? So now because it came, I can't leave it. Sometimes the letter just comes to me and I need to send the thing back. So I just keep it with me. I don't forward it. Now the Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, the usul that he showed us. That is why we find that the Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, as far as tasawuf is concerned, he's opened it up and has shown us what the tasawwuf is all about. It's not something that is foreign. It is deen. It is deen, and especially in the silsila of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, you will find this great emphasis on muamlat, on dealings, on akhlaq, and on these types of adab. So Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, now that type of a letter has come with a reply paid postcard. I can't discard that. I can't tear it and throw it away. So what does the Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali mentions? He writes as a reply that I don't have the ability. I don't have the ability and the courage to go around announcing my weaknesses. So if you wish to, you can do that. And I'm much more worse than what you have mentioned. I am nowhere near what you have mentioned, much more worse than that. And I don't have the courage to go around announcing my weaknesses, so if you wish to do that, you can do that on my behalf. Something to this effect. Now, on his letter is going back, the reply paid postcard that has been sent, so he's showing us the usul there, that is being sent. Now, imagine the person two things, is that if whatever has been written in reality, it is in me, then even though Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, it is mentioned regarding him that towards the end, when he lost his eyesight, so his post used to be read by someone, and he used to then respond, and they used to write the answers and whatever and send it back. So just as in the case of others, as we've just mentioned, that they had people that you know, always criticizing them and that type of thing, so, and had animosity. Sometimes when Allah Ta'ala gives someone raf'at and balandi also, and Allah Ta'ala gives someone some acceptance in whichever way, Allah Ta'ala blesses someone with some unique ability, then you find people in the same league also. Sometimes there's a type of jealousy that comes in. Sometimes it is other reasons. So however, there were those that sometimes, like in the case of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Alayh, that wrote very nasty letters to him. So whilst Hazrat was, could see, he used to read his post. But when he lost his eyesight, then he realized that for some period of time, that type of post was not read to him. So then one day he asked the person who used to read out his post, he says, for a long period of time, our friends' letters haven't come. Oh, not my enemies. Understood? Oh, I haven't been hearing our friends' letters. Person that is reading out. So what answer is he going to give? So he says, Hazrat, those letters are coming. But then why aren't you reading them? So how can I even bring those words that are written there on my tongue? How can I bring those words, those nasty words, those nasty things that are written, how can I read it out to you? Look at the response of Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh. This is how they became who they were. This is the, when the nafs has been crushed, that is why Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, on one occasion, Hazrat Ali Imdadullah Majid Makki Rahmatullah Alayh, the Shaykh, sent a message to Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, who was in India, and Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh was in Makkah Mukarramah. So Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh sent a message to Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh that for some period of time we haven't heard anything regarding your condition, your spiritual condition. So Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh replied that, Hazrat, what must I tell you? Nothing much that I can tell you about my condition, my spiritual condition. This much I can say, of course, barakat of the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala and the Shaykh's tawajjuh. He said, people's praises and the criticism are the same to me. Praise of people and the criticism is same. In other words, if a person praises me, then I don't become flattered and feel, okay, listen, I'm somebody. If someone has criticized me, so what? Hasn't made me anything smaller. Why? Because izzat and zillat is from who? You can't give me izzat and I can't give you izzat. قل اللهم مالك الملك تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء. عزت and ذلت, it is not in the hands of the human being to give عزت. عزت and ذلت is the قدرة of Allah Ta'ala. Outwardly, if the makhluk to disgrace someone, if Allah Ta'ala wills a person's izzat, then even in condition and environment and everything being they set out for the person's dhillat, Allah Ta'ala will give him izzat. And if Allah Ta'ala desires dhillat for a person, the person must come down, then the world can give this person, can salute this person, but he will not get izzat. This is total qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. So why do I want to make that my responsibility? No, if Allah Ta'ala wishes to give you izzat, He will give you. If Allah Ta'ala wishes to disgrace you, He will disgrace you. It is not in. So however, as Ganguly Rahmatullah Ali mentioned to his Shaykh, that these praises and criticism have become one. Now, can you imagine that person who has reached this level, what type of peace he must be experiencing and how tranquil he must be? Why do we become affected and why do we lose our, you know, equilibrium, so to say, you know, our calm? This person has praised me, now suddenly I've been, you know, elated. Now my system is changing inside. Okay. Then suddenly I know someone has criticized me. Oh, such an impact it has on me. Now my mind, why did this person say this? It's just how. Now what's happening inside, the whole temperament is changing. And now shaitan and nafs not going to leave you there. Now when we've given in to that, the next thing is now the jazba of intiqam. That now I must also respond. If he's told me something, must I just sit quiet? I mean, how can he make such remarks regarding me? So now the person's calm is gone. And our mashayikh mentioned that for a person to make that taraqi and for a person to progress spiritually, you got to have that serenity within the heart. The heart has to be secure, the heart has to be serene. If we're going to let these things affect us, and you'll find sometimes people, their temperament is such that someone must just tell me one thing for hours, my whole mood is gone. I must be told one thing. I'm so sensitive that, okay, my ustad told me something, my father told me something, or the wife told me something, but the whole day my mood is gone. Don't talk to me. Okay, what is that? How are then we going to make any spiritual progress? How are then we going to get any get that khushu and khudu? Because I'm performing my salah, but I'm consumed with that. I'm standing before Allah Ta'ala, but inside I'm burning. And sometimes until I don't give vent to my feelings, I won't feel satisfied. And sometimes it will take me a day, 2 days, sometimes 3 days before I can calm down and I'm prepared to speak again. So this is not the case with the awliya Allah. When this praise and the criticism mean nothing to a person, so he would not feel anything. If anyone has praised him, he's still the same person. And if anything, attributes everything to Allah Ta'ala. If anyone has praised him, this is praise to Allah Ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. If a person praises a flower or a beautiful rose or the fragrance of the rose, Alhamdulillah, that is praise to Allah Ta'ala. If a person has praised me for whatever Allah Ta'ala has blessed me with, that is praise to Allah Ta'ala. Not praise to me. What am I? I am full of just filth and nothing else. What is my inside? There's nothing else but filth. So, all praise is to Allah Ta'ala. So, if a person has praised me, it is praise to Allah Ta'ala. Because even that ability for whatever it is, you are being praised, from where did it come? Is it your own? Has it been given to you? It has been given to you by Allah Ta'ala, so it is Allah Ta'ala. So, all praise are due to Allah Ta'ala. And on the contrary, if someone has insulted me, ridiculed me, these types of things happen, so what? By him telling me that, it hasn't made me that. If someone told me, for instance, if someone has used this word that you're stupid, does it make me a stupid? By him telling me, I don't become a stupid. Or if you told me you're mad, now I'm taking offense to that. Or you don't know what you're doing. Now these types of comments, and then all of the very light, but we take it very heavy. So now depending who's mentioning it to us, and then of course you get those that are more of a serious type. However, if that means nothing to him, he won't even bother about it. He'll take his mind away from it totally. So what will happen, it will give him that peace and that tranquility in his heart. So his balance of his ibadat, everything will continue as normal. He will not be affected. But the moment we become such that we react to these types of situations, and it takes us time to overcome that reaction, then you will find that our ma'amulat, our actions, our ibadat, all these become affected. So however, this was the coming back to the incident of Hazrat Ganguly Rahmatullah Ali. So the Ganguly Rahmatullah Ali asked that why isn't why aren't we hearing it? These letters are coming. But there's such types of things that are written there that we feel it difficult, impossible, especially for an ashik, for a lover, to bring those types of things on the tongue. So Hazrat cautioned them and he said, see, and this is a lesson for us. He said, read those letters out to me. Because if there's anything therein which is for my islah, by which I can make my islah, I will make my islah. Who's saying that? Qutbul Alam. That if there's anything there that I can make my islah, that he's telling me something, or he's, whether he's accusing me or whatever it may be, mention it to me, so that if there is anything that I need to correct myself, if there is something for me to take lesson from, or something for me to correct, then I will heed to that and I will put myself. Otherwise, I don't have to worry about it, because I don't take these things seriously. Now look at the mindset. The old mindset is, now if I would have read that letter, or that type of information, I'll be fuming. Not even the remotest part of my mind will go that, listen, must I look? But if it is harsh language, sometimes even maybe someone differed with me on a master, but the way that it is put forward, the person is trying to show that he's got more knowledge or he doesn't want to accept. So what happens? I become furious. So what? He's got a right, whatever. And if it is something that I have erred in, that the Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi has shown us that also, that with his fatwa sometimes if with proofs and dalail and whatever else, if he was told that, or if it was forwarded to him that this is what has been written, but this is the tahqiq and this is the research, Rahmatullah Ali would retract from his view or whatever he has and then mention the correct masla. So these things, they don't consume these people. And once that stage a person reaches, then you will find that he is very calm. And he doesn't lose that tranquility of the heart, which is so important, especially in making spiritual progress. So this was the third thing where it is mentioned that we make islah via those that are our enemies, or those that have jealousy for us, or whatever the comments that they pass. Then the fourth stage is this, that sometimes you find you're not near your sheikh, you're not near a friend or a companion, you're not near an enemy, you're totally on your own, you're traveling somewhere, you're gone somewhere. So for that occasion also, there is a means for making our islah. You will say, how? You don't have your sheikh with you, you don't have any friend with you to tell you anything, you don't have any enemy to tell you anything. How are you going to make your islah? You say, through muraqabah. You sit and think and contemplate and ponder. For instance, if you're sitting at the end of the day, before going to sleep at night, you're making muraqabah, that what did I do during the day? What were my actions during the day? If I went on a business trip, there may have been females that I had to interact with for some reason or the other. What was my interaction like? Did I misuse my gaze? Or maybe if I had to look, did I take any pleasure out of that in my mind and heart? Or if I had to speak to some female due to some justified reason, then, or if some female had to phone me and I'm hearing, now did I take any pleasure out of the voice which is entering my ear? Sometimes we answer the phone at home, sometimes you observe that it is someone, some female on the other end that is phoning for your mother or sister, or sometimes for the family. Now that is why women folk shouldn't adopt that sweet voice over the phone. They should be stern over the phone. But however, be it as it may, I'm hearing that voice. Now you are overseas and you've gone on a business trip, and the clerk or someone phones you from the business. Now you are listening to that voice. Are you making unnecessary conversation? Are you just lengthening the conversation just to get pleasure out of that voice that is coming? You're sitting thousands of miles away, thousands of kilometers away, but you can still be engaging in haram with someone that is so far, just by the voice that is coming through. And someone will say, no, there's nothing about this. And if anyone looks at you, or even if your sheikh is sitting there, or your ustad, he won't be able to make out what you are doing. But inside what is happening, there's someone that knows regarding whom he mentions, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنُ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. that the deception of the eyes and what carries on inside the heart, that also Allah Ta'ala knows. So you can't deceive Allah Ta'ala. Now you're making muraqabah, that did I take or did I derive any haram pleasure out of that voice that came into my ears? Now at the end of the day, you're making muraqabah. Now you're making muraqabah, you know, okay, listen here, I've gone off here, I made a mistake, and I did something wrong here, I displeased Allah, so there you will make tawbah, and also make this ahd with Allah Ta'ala, that Ya Allah, I will be careful tomorrow, and as from now onwards, I will not engage in this type of a sin. And wherever, of course, this occasion of making shukr to Allah Ta'ala, you will make shukr to Allah Ta'ala, and for our wrongs, and for our falling and slips that we have made, then there you will make sincere tawbah to Allah Ta'ala, and be more cautious for the days that will be following. So these are whatever Allah Ta'ala, well, few things that have been mentioned. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala give us a tawfiq to him. There was something else that was supposed to have been spoken about, but however, because together with our ibadat, there is this desire that all of us have to make some spiritual upliftment. Yes, through ibadat, our thawabs and our rewards increase, but there has to be a concentrated effort on our akhlaq as well, and on our spiritual selves, to bring our spiritual selves up. And how do we do it? These are the types of things we listen, we discuss, and then we try to implement, and don't let it just stop there. This is not just for increase of our knowledge. There is nothing much to increase in our, but these are practical things that inshallah, if we implement these things, then Allah Ta'ala, especially for us as youngsters, and more especially we are just at the beginning of our studies, we just starting, and there's still some time before we reach the end, and try and implement these things in our lives from now. So by the time that we finish, we will be at a level, inshallah, that from there you can take off. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to mention sometimes in his majalis, when people used to write, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali had a system there where people used to write in their books. And when I was there, I also used to do that, and we used to go and leave it on his desk. Maybe Asr time, or when you go for the majlis at 11 o'clock, you'll take the book and leave it there. 9 o'clock, whatever it was. And then Hazrat, major part, especially at the latter part of his life, when he stopped teaching Bukhari Sharif and everything, then you, whenever you entered that majlis khana, then either that Hazrat was busy with someone, giving someone some advice or something, someone came to meet him. Otherwise, continuously he was replying to correspondence, continuously, from the time of tahajjud. If you went in after tahajjud, you went in fajr time sometimes just to go see Hazrat, to go to the masjid, he used to read his sunnats at home, and then he at the majlis khana, and then he was engaged in correspondence. You would always see continuously on Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali's day, one is a correspondence that came from outside, you know, a stack of letters. And then, so of course, maybe if I wrote a letter or something, maybe I'll write one page or half a page or something. But when people sometimes write, it should be page upon page. Now imagine, they don't just discard those. They'll read everything. Even though sometimes there's nothing there that is worthy of reading, but they will still read it because it has been sent. So one was those muta'alliqeen and those muridin that were from outside that wrote a stack of those. Then those saliqeen that used to be there, and that we're staying there in the khanqa, their books and whatever that used to be there. And Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to see that, and then whatever was needed, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali would comment on that. So this is the opportunity that Allah Ta'ala has given us. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was getting to that way. He mentioned that, what is this? What is this that we know the basic things as far as bad nazri is concerned? We know that it is haram. We know to listen to things which Allah Ta'ala has made haram. We know those things that are. See, then why aren't we at this stage also that you're still writing that I've got bad nazri? You know about it so long. You've heard it so many times in the majlis, and you're still writing that there's bad nazri. When are you going to come out of this? Another thing is that up to now, you hear so long, you're completing your alim's course and everything, and you're still engaged in this. When are you going to make that spiritual flight? When are you going to get onto it? Yeah, you're just looking at base, you're still getting the runaway done. The runway, you're still getting that prepared, still putting the concrete and all that. When you're right there in Dora, or you're right there at the end of your studying career, you're still there. When are you going to be making, when are you going to getting onto that flight, and when are you going to take off? Now, even when we are there, when we are not ready, another 5 years, 10 years, and we're still at the same place, we haven't gone on the spiritual flight. So he said, when are the finer things of tasawuf going to come into us? That huzuri with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that ecstasy that we enjoy. But you're just still in the basic things. So this was, Hazrat sometimes used to wake the audience up like that. He used to shake them, although he was very soft-natured. But of course, because they have a responsibility of Islah, then Islah they will make. They will do it in different. So sometimes he used to wake the audience up like that. Listen, how long are you going to continue? We know this. After 5 years, you come back and you're still saying, I got badnaz. So is that a talib? Is that a seeker? Is that a salik? Is that person who is complaining about this after so long, he's still complaining? Where is his enthusiasm? Is he serious about wanting to be in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala and wanting to improve himself spiritually? Is he serious about it? If he was serious, then this wouldn't have been. He would have left it long ago. Once or twice would have been sufficient. And at that time, if you couldn't leave it, you've got some prescription, soak like this, and okay, it's given. That's for a salik, that is sufficient. He's a talib, he's a seeker. And the seeker, he's got ikhlas in him, he's got sincerity in him. Be sufficient, it's left, finished, it's out of the system, khalas. I'm told that this, okay, I know it is haram, and now I've been told, and I've been assisted, guided, and everything. I've been encouraged to leave it. But it is out of my system, finished now. I've made tawbah from it, finished, it's gone out. But this, over and over and over again, the same thing we are speaking about, same thing you're writing about, same thing you're telling me. How many more times I tell you the same thing? Now the tone is changing. Understand? So, may Allah Ta'ala bless us with this insight. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with the ability to understand these things and these weaknesses that we have, start shedding them, move away from them. Make niyyah that Allah Ta'ala give us a life of purity, Allah Ta'ala give us a life of cleanliness. And these things which we know are major and kabair, the gunas, then abstain from that. In fact, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali once mentioned that you people are writing about badnazri. He said, yes, agreed that the mashayikh, they don't think bad about anyone, or they don't have that feeling that this, or think low about anyone, that this person has written this, what a type of person this is, this is. He said, agreed that the mashayikh don't have that. But Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, remember that at the back of the mind you're putting something of this person. When I read that, this thought came to mind that look at the beautiful way that Hazrat is making Islah and what he's telling you. What is he telling you? He's telling you, don't embarrass yourself. That is what he's telling you. Don't embarrass yourself. Irrespective of what it may be, I'm still a human being, that is what he's saying. That what you are telling me and what you are writing, it will sit somewhere in the mind. But just for that piece of information to be in my mind, do you like it for it to be there in my mind? So why don't you erase that from your life? Take it out, it's done, it's over with, halas, khatam, and it's, you don't have to bring it to anyone's notice. And then you continue. Now see how he's making it start with encouragement. That if you can leave it out on your own after hearing the discourses, sometimes the discourse will be, it will be general. And each one will see whether this cap fits me. If it fits me, then I must take it. And I must make my istah. I must not wait for this occasion and I must tell him personally, then only, when he tells me do this or that. But in the general, sometimes one person may write something and there are several others there that are suffering the same symptoms, the same guna, the same evil. So now, are they going to wait to say, okay, listen, I must write also and I'll get a different. But the Shaykh is speaking and he knows, he's got the pulse on, he's got the finger on the pulse of those that are there, he knows. So he will mention accordingly. Now whatever is being mentioned, although maybe one person wrote that, now I must not be content and think that, no, listen, this is not for me, it is for the person that has written. No, I must treat everything to be for myself, and look at myself in that mirror, and see whether I've got a fault there. start putting those faults right. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdi, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.